So I believe it was Yosemite Sam that said,
"Suffering succotash."
Yeah, I think you're right.
And so
we're old.
I know.
And so, yeah. Wow.
So what is succotash?
Okay, it's traditionally the mix of corn and lima beans.
Hey, Deb's favorite.
I wasn't going to bring it up.
I know you were, but I have to.
Okay. Because it is one of the foods that I don't really appreciate.
But, okay, so Deb, okay. Do you like bacon? Because it's cooked in bacon.
I do bacon, and I'm willing to try anything.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So give it a shot.
Okay, let's see what's...
Okay, but in my succotash recipe, you get the cast iron skillet out, and you put like 3 or 4 strips of bacon in there, and you cook... And, you know, just cook the living daylights out of it till it's crispy.
Mm-hmm.
You want it that point when it's just about to turn black, but you catch it and it's crispy.
Yeah.
You break it up into little pieces with the spoon or whatever. Then you put in the beans and the corn. And in my case, I have way too many cherry tomatoes. Everybody's been asking me. I'll say like, "Hi, how are you? Do you want some cherry tomatoes?" And they'll like, run the other direction. The good and the bad news about cherry tomatoes is they come first, and so you get the fresh tomato flavor.
Is there okra in here?
Yeah, there's okra.
Ooh, I love that.
I know. It's, you know what? Because it adds a different texture.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. It kind of, that I added cherry tomatoes and red bell peppers.
That's really good. Mm-hmm.
And it really changes it up. Because given the taste of corn and lima beans together, there's really nothing to write home about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of bland, you got to admit, right? So in this case, you're frying it up in bacon, adding extra onion, sweet pepper, and cherry tomatoes.
Okay.
So that kind of changes the whole thing. And what I like about this recipe is, even if the corn, like, have you ever brought in too much corn and then there's like an ear of corn that's like 3 days it's been in the fridge? And that corn works well here because it doesn't need to be sweet anymore.
Mm.
The sugar can go back into the cob and you just cut it off the cob. And then the corn adds that starch that you need. Now, my vegan niece tells me the combination of corn and lima beans is a complete protein.
Mm.
Wow. All well, right. I don't mind the lima beans in here because I don't really taste them.
No. See, you covered up
fried
with...
and crispy bacon. That's
right.
Why.
And you put in the bacon first because it's that's the base of the flavor.
It's really good.
Now, if you wanted to make this a meal, and you could actually vegans wouldn't think it was a good meal, but I would add like an egg or some shrimp. Or chopped up pork chop.
That would be really good.
Then you've got a meal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
but if you wanted to serve it as a side, what would you serve it with?
Oh, like any roast of any sort, roast chicken, whatever. Okay. It's just a really good side, but you can amp it up quite a bit. And with me, it's always like when I saw succotash with just lima beans and corn, it's very beige looking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, colorful.
Yeah.
So that's why I added a chopped red pepper and then... I'll do anything I can to use up the cherry tomatoes.
Yes, and you have a tip, by the way.
I do. Here's my tip, and it's going to be weird doing it on the radio, but I've done it on Paula Sands, and I've done it probably all the years I was teaching culinary. I would always tell people olives, grapes, and cherry tomatoes, any round little thing that you need cut in half, you take 2 lids, and I'm talking about lids like on a tub of fake butter, like margarine, and then or like a Cool Whip lid.
Yeah.
So it's got a little lip on it, and you put the cherry tomatoes or the grapes or the olives into that bottom lid. You take the top lid and you put the two lips together.
Yes.
And then you're holding the little round objects, and you take a serrated knife. That's the important thing there.
Okay.
You don't want to squish them. You want to saw back and forth between the two lids. And you will cut every cherry and every grape and every olive in half.
I like it. That's a great tip.
That is a great tip. Save so much time to do it like that.
Well, it started like about 30, 35 years ago. I was given a number 10 can of olives that was supposed to be ordered sliced, but they weren't.
Oh, boy.
So then, the thing about cherry tomatoes and olives is they're always trying to escape from your mouth or your plate. They can go squirting across the room. I've even had people say, "I can't even bite a cherry tomato because I'm afraid I'm going to squirt somebody else at the table." So I always cut them in half. And this number 10 can is like almost a gallon
right.
of olives. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is going to take way too long. And so I just had the idea that I would do it a lot.
Yeah, that's good.
And it works very well.
And I've seen other chefs do that since you told me that.
Oh, yeah. It's been a thing. I mean, like for as long as I've been, well, when I taught, I would teach for like 40 people at a time.
Right.
And so it's a really good tip. And once you start thinking, what can I do with those lids? There's other things you can do with that too. Like you can put hamburger between two lids.
Hey, there you go.
Push it down.
There's
just all kinds of things you can do. And I carry these, you know, I have a toolbox full of kitchen stuff.
Right.
I mean, I don't know any women that have a toolbox full of screwdrivers and stuff, but I have a toolbox full of knives and matches and everything I think I could possibly need. And I started carrying different sizes of lids in there.
Mm-hmm.
So like if I only had like 4 cherry tomatoes for a garnish that I need to cut, I've got a little tiny lid.
Okay.
And I just
for
use
you.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you don't want them to be able to roll around in there and get away from you.
Right.
So anyway, that's the
Neat.
Tip for the
pro tip.
Day.
There's the pro tip.
Do you remember that? They call it a salad, but it's like grapes and Milky Way bars and Cool Whip and... They call it a salad.
Sure.
But
somebody does.
Yeah, somebody does, but
I consider it a salad.
Yeah. Well, Deb,
there's
here's
the
a surprise. There she is. Here's a surprise for you.
Called grape salad.
Is that what they're calling it these days? Well, nothing would turn people off like it's a Milky Way salad.
Right.
And you know, but anyway, I know they call it a salad, but I always put off making it, even though it's been requested at several family affairs, I have put off making it because I don't like it personally. It's like offsetting. If I eat something sweet, the meal better be over. Because the sweet
right.
turns, I can't go back now and get like vinegar or anything.
Again.
Oh, no.
You can't do
once
that.
Once you've had dessert, it's over.
That's it.
People need to go home.
So I've got a weight loss idea.
Okay.
Eat the dessert first.
Oh, there you go.
Then you don't eat the rest of the food.
Well,
see?
I used to train, right? No, that might work. Although I would probably eat like a quart of that salad.
Oh, okay, all right.
But I used to train people to set salad bars up
mm-hmm.
in restaurants and stuff. And you always had to put something sweet on the salad bar to get them to stop. You know, it's the truth. If you don't have a can of vanilla pudding or something on there to get people to just slow down with the salad bar. And the other trick is you'll
it's like a speed bump on a salad bar.
I know. Well, okay, so there's this other trick that they have, like expensive salads, like ham salad and tuna salad. You put it way, way back, and you put a tiny spoon in there. And then they can't, it's difficult to get, and they give up and go on.
I love these little tricks I'm learning. This is so, now when I go to a salad bar, I'm going to look for these things and go,
yeah.
Oh, there's what she was talking
I
about.
I know. You know, sometimes they're really helpful. Sometimes they just ruin a good party. But I just, you know, I am full of helpful tips.
You are. You are.
This is why I'm rarely invited to people's homes for food.
Well, if you'd like to learn more tips as well as recipes and how to maybe have her come and speak or whatever.
Uh-huh. Teach you a class.
There you go.
I can do all that.
So just text the word chef, C-H-E-F. Just text that word, that's it, to our phone number. We'll give you your contact information. So text that word to 800-221-9356. We'll send you her direct contact information right back to you, where to get her cookbooks, all kinds of
all
stuff.
All that good stuff.
That's
Thank
right.
you so much for having me in.
You're welcome.
I have one question for you.
Okay.
We're talking about dinner time stories here.
Uh-huh.
And earlier we talked about things that might drive you crazy.
Mm-hmm.
What drives you crazy? What's the one thing you can think of that drives you crazy that happens around the dinner table?
When people like finish their food and they like lean back and start talking, and then maybe we've been sitting there for like an hour, hour and a half, mm-hmm. and the food's still there, and then they start again.
Oh.
That's kind of like, that's my like, wait. What is this? Dinner two?
Yeah, Trey, what are you, a hobbit?
Yeah, all right. What is, are we grazing now? We're just like, whenever something looks good, just grab a fork full of it? Because, you know, I kind of like the fact that when something is going to kill you after it's been sitting out at room temperature, I try to not eat that food.
Right, yeah.
One of my major goals in life is not to get dead by food.
Me and botulism are not friends.
No, we are not friends. I try to avoid it. And I've had, so far, good run of luck. No, I haven't given anybody food poisoning.
That's good.
But when it's like there's 2 spoonfuls of something that's been sitting there a while, Then they start eating again. I'm like, I almost want to go, please don't do that.
So how long is too long? Oh, just for those.
Okay, so the law, the to get your certification in sanitation kind of ruins everything for you.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does. But you're only supposed to have food out of refrigeration for a total of 2 hours. So if I have been prepping it for 15 minutes and then I put it in the bowl and put it out on the table and nobody shows up until another 15 minutes, then we're down to an hour and a half. And then if everybody's eating for a half an hour, okay, now it's the clock is ticking the minute it gets out of refrigeration.
Okay.
So 2 hours is the max. But there's some stuff that if you let it get, if it's already starting at room temperature,
yeah,
then it's growing bacteria like crazy, like faster than you can possibly get ahead of it.
Okay.
And the thing that people always say, well, I reheated it, that does not count. If it has made... if the bacteria has made a toxin, their byproduct, you know, like we don't want to say the word, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And they make waste.
Yes.
That makes the food toxic.
Okay.
And no amount of heat can kill toxic.
Okay.
Oh,
so what
wow.
about if you're prepping stuff and then you put it in the fridge until it's time to serve it?
Then you got, you're stopping the clock.
Okay.
And you get some time back.
Okay.
What the problem is like when I was growing up, my grandma would start at like 8 in the morning making a big lunch.
Right.
And they wouldn't actually, and she'd just make a bowl of stuff and then just sit it on the counter and then go to work the next thing. And then at about, you know, noon, my grandpa would come in and they'd sit down and they would eat that food. Well, it'd been, part of it had been sitting out since
for 4
like,
hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Now, the difference between generations, and this is interesting because I asked my nephew, the doctor, about this. Why is it that my husband and his brothers can eat stuff that's been out for days? And he said it's because they were raised eating that and they have an immunity to some of that. And they also don't complain when they're sick as a dog. So,
but don't use them as a gauge.
No, right. No. Actually,
for what food is good or not.
Right. And when if they ever hand me something and say, do you think this is good? I immediately toss it in the trash. I am not going to be that person to test if it's good or not. Some of us were raised by people that, like, back in the 60s and 70s, we had, like, pink penicillin medicine all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, we were never really off of it. My mother was, oh, you've got a cold. Here, take some of this. Whatever it's called.
Amoxicillin, yeah.
Yeah. We almost had 3 taps, like hot, cold, and amoxicillin. Because it was just, we were on it all the time. Which is why my nephew says I have no immunity
right,
to food.
Exactly.
I didn't build it
the
up.
The immune system's not there.
Yes,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
shocking.
Sure.
I'm as healthy and heavy as I am.
Well, Chef, always good to talk
really
to you.
Good.
Thanks, Steph.
We'll see you in about a month.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, bye.
7:46, here is Seventh Time Down. God is on the Move on Moody Radio. That's because he ate bad food.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's right at our house. Nobody ever says to me, do you think this is good?
Well, I this have really a good. Niece that went to cooking school in Chicago and all that, you know, to
right.
become a chef. She decided not to. She went into business. But we were over at her house, and she kept that food out for at least an hour and a half before we ate. And I was like, I was starting to get nervous. I was really starting to get, because I was like thinking, I don't ever take my food out until we're ready to eat, you
right.
know? And she
right.
just had it sitting on the counter, you know? And
right.
and me and my sister, who are both real sticklers about that,
yeah.
we're like looking at each other like, are we going to eat? Are we going to eat? Because I don't want to get sick.
I was watching somebody carve the chicken or turkey, whatever it was. They were carving it with a knife, and then they used the knife on the bread.
Oh, no.
And I'm like trying to signal my kids.
No.
Don't eat the bread. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Because cross-contamination is probably the reason why people get sick at restaurants.
Wow.
People are not careful.
Wow.
And have you ever gone to a salad bar and gotten deathly ill after?
Yes,
I
have.
Wash things properly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have gotten really sick after eating a veggie sandwich once, too.
Yeah. You see, the thing is, people slice a cucumber without washing the outside
yeah.
of the cucumber.
Mm-hmm. And then it goes in when you cut it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and bugs poop on stuff.
Right.
That's their job.
Yeah, right?
I mean,
yeah.
I was washing a pineapple the other day, and I have a brush, and I'm scrubbing the pineapple, and my little granddaughter, Olivia, goes, you know, I've noticed that you wash everything. And I go, yes, it's important. It's important.
That's right.
Start them early.
Bye. Exactly.
Thank
Bye.
You
Thank
so
you.
Much. It was delicious. It is delicious.
Moody Radio. Good morning. Who's this? Hi, Carolyn. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's an idea. Huh. Never thought of that. Right? Yeah. Okay. Very cool. Oop, lost her. Line just...
Huh.
Carolyn, you can use one of those hair picks and put it through the tomatoes and slice them that way, too. I'm thinking to myself, hope you're not using the one you're using on your hair. Seventh time down, there's God is on the move on Moody Radio at about 10 minutes until 8. It's Ken and Deb here. Thanks so much for being along with us. We've been talking about family table stories.
That's right. Did you have any stories from the dinner table or things that you do as a family? Maybe you have some kind of unique tradition. We had Jeff earlier say that they had a family song that they sang around the dinner table.
That's right.
Maybe you've got a tradition like that that you'd love to share with us this morning. 800-221-9356.
All right, so Al corrected me. It is actually Sylvester, the cat, that said suffering succotash. Thanks, Al. Appreciate that. I couldn't remember which one it was. And oh, also Margie said that as well. I appreciate it. Keep me honest, you know.
That's right.
Passing it to the
Thank
right.
Thank you for your help. We need it.
Passing things to the right now. Remembering who said suffering succotash, it's all important.